Good evening and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Kind of a sad one, kind of a swan song, but it's not sad that we get to mention our fantastic sponsors. How about Hamada Wealth Management, our title sponsor all season long, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Sports Look's about over, but basketball season's not, Gus. The Benedict and Lady Ravens continue to play, and we're going to be with them tomorrow as they're going to be in Seward, Nebraska, and in the first round of the NAI Women's National Tournament. They will be hosting and hosted by and playing Concordia University of Nebraska. It'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off right here on Care Radio. So we've got that Saturday. Here's the bottom line. Keep winning. Keep playing. And Saturday, if the Lady Ravens win Friday, we'll have them at 4 o'clock.
It's kind of crazy. We're to the end of the season, so there's more TBAs than givens at this point. And one thing we'll just jump right into, last week, they crowned a few state champions.
Yeah, and the tournament's fantastic. The reports from all of the sites, you know, came in very positive, and everybody, I think, had a great time where they were. And so, yeah, it went well, and there were some familiar names and some kind of new ones.
Yeah, a few new ones, and telling you, sometimes we always look at how many of these state champions ended up undefeated. Well, you don't have to go far to find one. Class 6A on the guys' side, Shawnee Mission Northwest finishes a perfect season, 25-0. They knocked off Wichita Heights 47-39 to go on and capture the guys' championship. That was being played at 6A Coke Arena. On the girls' side, how about Shawnee Mission South? They go on to win. Shawnee Mission South was the one seed. They knocked off the Cinderella Story. Washburn Rule, the 7th seed, made it all the way to the title game, but just couldn't score enough points, losing that game 47-37. So, again, another 1 seed came out of 6A. So, if you're 6A, you said, we didn't even need to play the tournament. The 1 seed made it both times.
And 5A boys, Capon Mount Carmel Catholic High School takes the championship over our friends right down the road at Kansas City Piper, and it was a good one, 62-59. So, Capon is the champion of Class 5A, and by the way, Highland Park took the third place game over Mays South. Highland Park losing to the Ultimate State Champions in overtime, guys, 67-64 in the semifinals. So I tell you, Topeka Highland Park, the Scots were right there. They were so good.
Yeah, I mean, and Capon survived that game and went to overtime, and then Capon, you know, able to get a little steam in that title game and come away with a big victory. Class 5A on the girls' side, from what we laughed about last week, probably one of your top spots is the White Auditorium in Emporia. It was Seaman with the championship. They finished the season 23-2. They were the 4 seed, knocked off the 1 seed Andover on their way to that title, beat Mays South 54-41 in the title game. Andover, the number 1 seed all season, well, they finished the season 24-1. The lone loss coming to the state tournament.
Yeah, and for Seaman, beating Andover, very close ball game, a, what, 49-45 game. The only close game that Topeka Seaman had, you know, on their way to that championship. So congrats to the Lady Vikes.
Talk to me a little bit about the Tony's Event Center.
What do you want to know? It's a great venue, great basketball venue. I like it. The people there are could not be better. We got to see some of our old friends out there. Rob Vandercreek was there to take care of us for a couple of days, and they just provide a tremendous basketball experience for the fans. And for the Phoenix, it was a great trip out there. They've got a lot to be very, very proud about. Atchison ultimately taking the third place game over Baldwin on Saturday at 2 o'clock, winning that one 61-50. But it was a tough, tough loss. A last-second loss to Hugoton. Atchison got behind in the game, had to battle back late, couldn't get a lot of points early on, and took a lead with, you know, less than a half a minute to go, but Hugoton hit a late shot. Atchison couldn't respond and loses by 1. And so that was a heartbreaker, 39-38, incredibly low scoring. Hugoton goes on then to come up short in the title game to the undefeated Bullpups.
Yeah, the Bullpups going to rule the western part of the state, and at the end of the season, they get the trophy, and they're going to finish a perfect 25-0. Atchison in that third place game, able to bounce back, beat Baldwin. You talked about it a little bit, 61-50. So a great season, though, for the Phoenix getting that third-place trophy.
Now, Cus 4A on the girls' side, well, that's one of the worst-kept secrets in the country, right? As the Lady Stags take a fifth consecutive 4A state title.
Yeah, and this time they had to come from the 3 seed to do it. But you start looking at some of the scores, nobody was really close.
No, seeds, serious. Did the seeds mean anything at all?
Not really. I mean, they beat Labette County 68-33. They knocked off Fort Scott 61-32 and then dispatched Wellington 75-64 and to go on to win that state title. They finished the season 22-3 and a little extra hardware in the trophy case.
Yep, so congratulations to Bishop Miege on a fifth champion. And by the way, the Lady Bullpups take the third place game over Fort Scott. So a pretty good trip for McPherson to Salina. Class 3A boys. Well, here's a team that we've got to be familiar with around here, right? You talk about your East-West matchups. You got Wellsville, Goodland in the title game, and a 10-point win for Wellsville. They are your state 3A champion on the boys' side.
Yeah, I mean, you got a title game with two Western Kansas teams, right? Wellsville's far enough west.
Is it past Topeka?
You know, I guess it's probably a little more east of Topeka, but it's pretty close when you draw that line straight down. But yeah, I mean, Wellsville with a great season. They finished 23-3, and Beloit will take the third place title as they knocked off Southeast of Saline 51-37.
In Class 3A girls, it was a runaway freight train through the entire tournament, and there was just no stopping a team that we'd seen a year ago and knew they were great then, knew they were going to be great this year. And how about the Lady Eagles out of Silver Lake as they maintained that perfect record, a 26-0 state championship for Silver Lake's girls.
Yeah, they knocked off Heston in the title game 66-61. That was the closest game they had to deal with, a 5-point game, and I would argue that Silver Lake was really not pushed in that Heston game a whole lot. But yeah, for Silver Lake, coming away with a championship at Class 3A. Jumping down to the edge of the world, I mean, Dodge City.
Can we call this a shootout on Wyatt Earp Boulevard? I'm
telling you. In Class 2A, on the guys' side, it was Mound Ridge, the number 3 seed, making their way through and winning the state title over Linden, the 1 seed being handed their first loss of the season. Linden finishes 25-1. Mound Ridge, a state champion at 23-3, a 58-44 winner in that ballgame.
Yeah, fantastic season for Linden. Great season for Mound Ridge taking the title. But we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the incredible season for head coach Corey Knoll and the Jefferson County North Chargers, JCN going out there, and they were the 6th seed. And gosh, if you're going to lose in a first round game, you might as well lose to the ultimate state champion, right? I mean, there's no disgrace in that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they ran into a Mound Ridge team. And how many times do we talk about this time of the year? This is, you know, one of those teams starts to get a little hot and all of a sudden they roll. And right now that's what Mound Ridge was able to do in 3 straight get days and win the state title. So, yeah, for Coach Knoll, again, it's always tough finishing the season. But if you figure that you lose to the eventual state champion, I mean, might help lessen that a little bit. Class 2A on the ladies' side, Wichita Independent. Independent with a 58-39 win over Wathena Riverside. Riverside, who had knocked off Hoxie. Then in the second game, got an 8 seed, Valley Heights, who beat Leote. And then in the championship game, just couldn't quite get over Independent. In the third place game, it was St. Mary's Colgan. A 58-47 win over Valley Heights, and so Colgan will get third in Class 2A at Dodge.
Independent, pretty good ball club, but we saw Riverside more than a few times this year. Fantastic team, fantastic season, and yeah, you're always disappointed when it doesn't quite pan out, but they, again, They were just fantastic.
Yeah, you know, last year they were the Cinderella last year. I think they just kind of burst on the scene at the state champion or the state tournament, and people were like, "Wait a second, this team's not bad." And that's when everybody really started to notice Riverside. They put together a great season this year, come up with a second place finish. Hey, nothing to hang your head on over that one. So.
Class 181. I just got to throw this out there. I'm going to test your geography. When was the last time you've been to Montezuma?
I will tell you that most of these schools in Class 1A, yep, couldn't even begin to guess where they're at.
Yeah, but Opie took third. Now, I know you know where that's at.
I know where Opie's at, but I always think of Opie as being a 2A team, not a 1A team.
Yeah,
you know, true. I mean, it's just, it's hard for me to figure them as that. And also, it's tough for me to just look at some of these schools and say, okay, what is X school? I'll be like, 3A, and they're like, nope, it's 1A. You know, I don't know. So,
and when it's different in football and basketball, it also makes it a little more complicated.
Yeah, head spins.
Again, hats off to all of these teams. Great, great seasons. It was a fantastic high school basketball year. We'll be back. Sports Hook rolling along here on a Thursday. Welcome back to Sports Hook here on a Thursday on KIR Radio. Final Sports Hook of the what's been a great 23-24 season. Gus, it's not over, though. The Benedictine College Lady Ravens continue to play in the NAIA National Tournament, and Benedictine, a good, strong showing in the conference tournament, ultimately losing in the championship game up in Des Moines to a good Grandview team, and the conference puts three in.
Yeah, a week ago we sat here on Sports Look and said we're going to find out tonight what the pairings come out, who gets in, who doesn't. And I think for Benedictine, the ladies, I felt comfortable after that win against Clark. You handed Clark two losses, their only two losses of the season, both of them at the Kiel Center. And so I thought that ultimately probably punched the ticket for the Lady Ravens, and we were correct. But the Heart of America Athletic Conference is going to sit back and they're going to look and say, hey, we got three teams into the national tournament. And I don't know. I think that's about what we thought. Some people can throw their hands up and say, what about Mid-America? And I'm going to say, you can't play that poorly in the first half of the season and then try to rectify it in the second half if you're not going to win the conference tournament.
Yep, and they had to do that. Benedictine ladies in the Naismith quadrant over there. And again, we're going to be talking about them. We're at the Concordia with them tomorrow night. And winner of that one will play the winner of Columbia, Missouri, and Wayland Baptist out of Texas. Those games are being played up in Seward, Nebraska, where we will be.
And for the Lady Ravens, I like the draw as far as, you know, location-wise. I mean, it was as close as anything as you were going to be, right? I mean, it's 3 hours. If you went to Salina, you were going to be maybe a touch shorter than that, but about the same. And if you went to Wichita, you were going to be kind of the same. So, again, out of all the places, I didn't really see an issue with, you know, drawing that Seward. It was better than some years where you end up in, you know, like Lakeland, Florida, where they went a couple of years ago, or the chance that you could have ended up in one of those, you know, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon-type sites. So,
well, Grandview is a number 5 seed in the Kramer Quadrant, and they're going to be at Madison, South Dakota. That's not a terrible trip for them, where they're going to be playing IU South Bend out of Indiana. So, South Bend is a good team, but they are the 12 seed. The winner of that one will be up against the winner of the Science and Arts and Dakota State game, the 4-13 game.
Now, when you go over to the Dewar bracket and you talk about Clark, Clark got to host a quadrant. If you're Clark, is that a good thing? Your only two losses this year have come in your gym.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you're better on the road. You're better at a neutral site than you are at your own gymnasium this year.
Yeah, but I'm going to take my opponents because Clark in the first round has got College of the Ozarks. Ozarks has to go all the way to Dubuque in a battle of the 2 and 15 seeds, and Clark again at number 2.
9 hours, probably?
Remember the people from
Evangel thought it was terrible. I mean, in the Ozarks is
at an hour.
Yeah.
And then the other two teams up there, Dakota Wesleyan out of South Dakota and Rust out of Mississippi. That's got to be a bus ride. They've been on the bus 2 days already on their way up to that.
Man. There are a few schools in there, though. Like, there are so many schools that you look at and you're like, yep, just always here. But there's a handful of schools I'm not familiar with. And what I attribute some of that to is the Division II combining with Division I, right? For years, we used to always know those Division II schools. But, like, what was it? governor's state in Illinois, Antelope Valley of California. But then you get your powerhouses like Cumberland's Kentucky, Menlo, William Woods. You've got Freed Hardeman. I mean, some of those teams that you're just used to every year.
Yeah. You got Marion, of course, is the number one seed. Indiana Wesleyan is another number one seed.
Embry-Riddle of Arizona is a new school.
Yes.
I mean, Embry-Riddle was always Florida, right?
Daytona Beach.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I always remember that in the Division II when we would go to Ozark. Embry-Riddle's guys' team was always there and always good. So, again, a bunch of these teams that we're familiar with, the Masters out of California, Marion, Indiana. So, yeah, should be a fun tournament. Good luck to all the ladies' teams, and hope to punch your ticket to the Tyson Event Center.
And we'll be up there with the Lady Ravens tomorrow night. Tune in for that. More Sports Talk right after this. We shift our focus now to NAIA men's college basketball and the first round games in the national tournament as they all scramble to try to make their way to Municipal in Kansas City. Got to win two games to get to KC. And for the Heart, Gus, they are three teams in.
Disappointing, maybe?
I
don't know. I think for me, I look at it maybe as a little bit of a disappointment because every season you're guaranteed three,
yes.
Right? And so, I mean, for me, I look at it and say, I need more than that. I would love to see four because this has been such a powerful conference over the years. This year, the national people didn't see it the same way.
No, and even to add a little further insult to injury, only one of the teams, and that is Mid-America, is a single-digit seed. The rest of them are, 10 and 15 seed. Yeah. Peru was lucky to get in at all.
Yeah, Peru.
If you weren't going to be given
one.
Peru
got in because they won the tournament. But I thought Graceland probably deserved a spot in the field. But the national people didn't see it that way. And real quick, while we're talking about these brackets, and you talked about you got to win two to get to Kansas City.
Yes.
Do you like this setup where you go pods at, geographically, closer sites for some schools?
Of course not.
I just love it all at the one spot. Let's go lace them up.
I understand why you do it. First of all, you double the field, okay? You got twice as good a chance of getting in because they've gone from
two divisions to one. Yeah. I mean.
And I understand why you do that. But at the end of the day, I think you can pare that thing down, take them to Kansas City. Yeah, I think it would be a lot less. I know there's a lot of travel to go to Kansas City for some of these teams. But that all said, I would think there's a lot less geography and a lot less, juggling going on, getting teams around and so forth. You win one place now, you got to figure out how to get from Dubuque, Montana, or Waxahachie, Texas, or Miami Gardens, Florida. Just some of the places that are hosting these things. Glendale, Arizona.
Okay,
I mean,
real quick, go to Miami Gardens, okay?
Yeah, I'd love to, by the way.
Yeah, let's go. Look at the teams that are in there.
The Masters. How brutal.
Masters, California mm-hmm. has to go to Miami Gardens, Florida.
Yeah.
And hope to win, and then they go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, the advantage of Kansas City is it's geographically centrally located. I think Sioux City does it. That's why I know that I'm probably in the minority. I think the NAIA should move the National Football Championship game to Sporting Park in Kansas City. I think it would be the right size. They've played football there. They played Division II football there when Northwestern a few years ago. I think it would be the perfect size. And it's geographically centered. I mean, I know that the NAIA says, yeah, but we want to have our games in warmer climates, and we want it to be more of a destination. And I'm like, let's play it where the good teams are, but that's a completely different thing. But, yeah, I think that some of these teams, and you just run into it here, that there are going to be some teams that just don't fit. You'd like to keep everybody kind of close to home, but you also can't penalize a one seed by putting the number two team in the country next to them because they're next to each other, right? You can't put Clark and Grandview together because, they're just geographically there. So,
and let's just throw into that, as the Masters out of California, a perennial participant in the national tournament, not only do they have to go to Miami Gardens, Florida, over 3,000-mile trip, but it's not like they're a 14 or 15 or 16 seed. They're a 5 seed, and having to make that kind of a trip I don't know. I think that if I were them, I would probably not be real thrilled with how this shook out.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think you can be at the end of the day.
Again, let's look quickly at the conference teams. Baker is in the tournament. They're going to be playing Sagu in Waxahachie.
I have been there before. I've been to Waxahachie, Texas once.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
I won't even ask you why, because I can't think that there's any good reason. But they're going to be there with an old friend. Is Evangel is going to be in the national tournament as a 15 seed sneaking in. And they're going to be playing Florida Memorial, the 2 seed in that Naismith Quadrant, all down in Texas.
How great would Baker versus Evangel be?
How much would Baker
round?
Like to be playing them?
Oh,
a lot.
I think a lot of people in the heart would love to see that. And, you know.
And then the next thing that I don't like, well, we're talking about things that I don't like.
Do we have time for that? I
no,
mean, that's
we don't have that kind
itself.
Of time. We're not going to end the season on ugliness, but the fact that you put your other two teams in a conference in the same, you know, quadrant, you know, with Mid-America and Peru State, who are ultimately going to have to, if they go to Kansas City, they'll play each other first game.
The women are the problem there, because a couple years ago when we were in Independence and the Heart sent, what, 3 of the final 4 teams?
Yeah.
It could have had all 4 of the final 4 teams. I think when that happened, the national tournament said, hey, wait a second, we've got to find a better way to keep these teams from meeting back up that late.
And I'm going to tell you, Peru State, they're going to be a huge underdog to Oklahoma Wesleyan. I'm taking Peru State here, just so you know, because they are the most athletic team that I've seen in a minute.
Super athletic, red hot right now. Yep. I mean, and so those things just add up to be, you know, this time of year basketball.
So that all said, best of luck to the Heart teams and all the teams in the NAIA National Tournament, and we got to get down to Kansas City and watch them this year. Seems like
I love
playing.
It. Yep.
All right, more sports look right after this. Hitting this final segment of this final Sports Look program for the season. And Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs, they've done some really big things. We can't quit talking about the NFL, but the Chiefs, number one, got to sign Chris Jones. He got the money that he wanted. He got the money that made him happy, and it's pretty good piece of change.
Yeah. Did you think it was going to get done?
Absolutely thought. Yeah. Absolutely thought.
I knew they kept saying it. I just really didn't, because I didn't know that Kansas City would, and I say buckle. They gave him a lot of money.
A lot of money.
And I'm going to be interested to see how they roll this thing out, because I don't think Chris Jones has 5 years left to play. I just don't.
But let me tell you, the thing is, he's a crowd favorite. He's the number 3 most popular guy on that team, right?
Yeah. But the problem is, he's making a whole lot more than the number 2 most popular guy, Travis Kelce.
Right?
And yeah. So I think that, you know, when you see a number like this come across, you're looking at Travis Kelce going, we need to rework that one, too.
Well, you speak about reworking it. The other big news out of Kansas City is they did rework something.
Everybody in the NFL is on the edge of their seats trying to figure out exactly what Kansas City's doing when they reworked Patrick Mahomes' deal the other day. And basically, here's what happens. When they rework these deals, they just move his salary from a salary to a signing bonus, which Clark Hunt is just basically saying, hey, Patrick, I love you so much. Why don't you just have $24 million today versus me having to put it on the books and pay it through the year?
Patrick says, okay, thank you.
Yeah, but you know what kind of trust that has to take for an owner to be able to say, yeah, I'm cool with just moving all that to a signing bonus. It also shows you, you know, what kind of a guy Patrick Mahomes is, that the organization says, hey, here's $24 million and I still think he's going to show up to work. But no, it's interesting to see what Kansas City is going to do with all this money. Can I tell you what I think it's going to be? I really don't think it's going to be anything outlandish and go out and sign a receiver. I think they're going to try to lock up Snead with that kind of money.
I that would be where I would want to go.
I think you can get him for a little less money than what everybody's like crazy numbers are. I just, you know, he's been there. The Chiefs, you got to remember, with L'Jarius Snead, who's a 4th-round pick, the Chiefs actually traded up in that draft because they targeted him. They knew what they wanted. They picked L'Jarius Snead. He comes from a small town in Louisiana, and you don't probably remember the story, but in maybe a second year, there was a shooting back home.
His brother.
And the Chiefs stood beside him and said, hey, anything you need for you, your family. I mean, I think a lot of those things go a long ways, you know, and that was, you know, a bad deal. And so I think by this time next year, when we come back on Sports Look, or this fall, I think the Chiefs will be looking at Snead with a nice contract too.
And you can pick up a receiver. I mean, you've got Rashee Rice, who's going to be even better next year in his second year. And, you know, you can pick up a good guy like him in their draft. That's got to be the target in the draft, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we've got the draft coming up here. You know, yes. April 25th is in Detroit this season. I think with the first round pick, Kansas City probably goes receiver. You're going to laugh. I think they also trade up to get receiver. I expect them, you know, not to pick 32, but more like 25-ish and take a receiver, you know, maybe as a
Xavier Worthy. Seven spots make that kind of a difference?
Yeah. I mean, all right, here's a perfect example. The Chiefs did that same kind of a trade when they went up to pick McDuffie in front of the Bills, you know, 2 years ago or whatever. Yeah, 2 years ago. So you tell me. You know, I mean, just that few spots makes a difference.
Kansas City Royals, it's about baseball season, and they've had a really good spring.
Yeah, they're playing really well, right? They're 12-7 in Cactus League play. You know who's kind of surprising me right now, and he's hitting the cover off the ball. And I know it's Arizona, and it's a different climate, so those guys are hitting the ball differently. But Salvador Perez, every day you look back, and he's crushed another one or two home runs. So he's looking good in his rehab coming back this year. You know, the Royals have so many young pieces. They've got a few arms now. I think it's a reason for optimism around here.
And they start the season at home the 28th of this month, hosting the Minnesota Twins. 3-10 opening day first pitch.
2 weeks from today, right?
Yeah, incredible.
So, I mean, you know. And
so how are they going to do? How many wins? Give me a number. I need a number. I'm going to write it down. I got my marker right here I'm going to put on the wall.
I would love to be in the 80s, but I mean, I would take 75, 72.
Okay.
I think you're going to be in that 72 to 75 range.
Yeah. See, I'm just insane. 85.
I would love 85.
I'm going 85.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they're that much better. The division is not super good. And I think that they've put some good pieces in place. I think that they're coming out of the blocks well. And that's been the kind of the thing for them. They come out of the block so slowly, and by the time you get to June, you're already jammed up 10 games down. Yeah. I don't think that'll happen this year.
Well, what? Last year, by the time we got to June, the Royals had already had 2 10-game losing streaks. Yeah. So I'm like, you can't do that early in the season. Hey, I definitely hope you're right. I'm just going to, you know, curb mine a little bit, but I'm not going to rain on your parade.
And college basketball continues. The Jayhawks didn't look very Jayhawk-like last night, and yet I don't think they really cared. They kept two of their best players off the floor, and they'll move on to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and they're going to be, how about this, the lowest seed that Bill Self has ever had? I mean, and that's not saying a whole lot, because Bill's lowest seed was 3. Okay, so
what are you going to be this year, 5?
I think you're probably a 5 seed going into this tournament. And how many times have we seen, you know, what is it, 8-5? So, yeah.
Hey, we want to thank, first of all, our fabulous Sportsbook sponsors, title sponsor Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank. Remind you that the upcoming schedule, Benedictine tomorrow night, Lady Ravens at 6 o'clock at Concordia as they continue their college basketball season. And Gus, we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment. We won't even try to name names. We got to thank so many people who make our jobs better, make Sportsbook, make all of our games better. How about the ADs and activities directors at all of the high schools that we go to that make room for us and help us out, and the sports information guys at all the colleges that we go to and all of the sports that we attend. I mean, there are so many people who have been, you know, so open arms for us, and whose great hospitality just makes all the difference for not just us. You go to those venues, they're treating everybody really well, and they make it a great experience for the fans and the players. Got to thank everybody involved. And until we reach you next time, for Gus, who really does all the work to put this program together, I just kind of show up and hope that I'm able to stumble through it. But he's got it lined up. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.